Well, here we are again. We're in the world, but we should not be part of it. There are a lot of stages that we go through in our life. As we grow up, we start as infants. And we begin crawling, and then walking, and slowly we progress into a child. We become aware of our surroundings, then we jump into adolescence, and we're replaced by adulthood, and we experience ups and downs of life. Spiritual growth is the same. We start out as infants, go into an adolescence, and into adult Christian life. And the thing I noticed is that the stage of Christianity you're in does not always correspond with the stage of your human development. You can be an adult and be a baby Christian. We're going to go to the book of Joshua. I've been there before, but I saw different things as I read through it this past week. In chapter 1, we see the Israelites camped on the east side of the Jordan River. They've been wandering now for 40 years around this wilderness, until all the generations that doubted God were consumed. And Moses, their leader, their liaison between God and them, the one who brought them through this wilderness, right to the edge of the promised land, could bring them no further. Moses was dead. Let's read verse 1. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land I am given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So here they are, looking across the water, as baby Christians, I call them. They had been baptized in the water of the Red Sea. They were nourished spiritually with the manna from heaven. And they even drank the living water from the rock of Christ. But they still hadn't grown up yet. The same scenario applies to the Christian walk today. We're led out of Egypt, signifying the world. We're given the law. We can't obey it. And we go to a Bible study once in a while, or we come to church on Sunday morning, and we're fed spiritually with some food like manna. But we're at the edge of the promised land, just like the Israelites. And we ask, who will lead us into the land? How will we get there? We're going to get there the same way the Israelites did. Look what verse 2 said. God said to Joshua in verse 2, he said, Moses is dead. You cross the river and all the people with you unto the land I have given them. So I looked back a little bit in the book to Numbers, and I saw that Joshua's original name was Hoshea, which meant salvation. And Joshua was saved because he was firstborn of his family. But during Passover, with the blood that was sprinkled on the doorposts and lentils, he was passed over by death, therefore saved. But Moses changed his name to Joshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. And the Old Testament, it's the name for Jesus. Joshua is the name for Jesus, who will lead us into the promised land. The Spirit-filled life. And that's what we want. And I noticed God said, I have given you the land. Not I will. You will conquer it. I've given it to you. It's here. Take it as much as you want. It's yours. Just step out and possess it. Did you know the total acreage of the promised land was 30,000 square miles? And yet, in the height of their glory, in Solomon's day, they only possessed 3,000 square miles. One-tenth of what God gave them. Why? Why? We're promised many things. We're promised the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 7:11, all we have to do is ask for it. We can't just sit back in a chair and wait for it to come to us. It's not going to work that way. And that's how it is with the land for the Israelites. It was given them. They have to take it. We see in Noah's day, he was on the ark. And the dove, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, was circling overhead. And Noah stretched forth his hand to take hold of the dove and draw it into himself. The Spirit of God is looking for a person, looking for a congregation that will reach out and grab hold and draw him in to themselves. What the Lord's saying to Joshua, he's saying to us, the land is yours. It's up to you how far you want to go. And we see in our text, not everybody wanted to go into the promised land. Numbers 32 records it. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh said, Moses, we don't want to go in the land. Well, we want to stay over here on the east side of the river. We like the grass here. It's good for our cattle. We can build houses and we can stay here. Are you satisfied where you are today? Or do you want to go into the promised land? The land flowing with milk and honey. I call it the Spirit-filled life. These tribes, these three that didn't want to go in, thought they knew what they wanted. They thought that was best for them. They thought it was safe where they were. And we find out it wasn't. Because reading through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus went over there later in his life. And it's recorded in Luke 8. And it's called the land of the Gadareans. These were the descendants of the tribe of Gad that stayed on the east side of the Jordan. And what did they have then? They had a land filled with pigs, demons. And they rejected Jesus. They told him, leave us. Sometimes we think we know what we want, but it's not what's best for us. We think we're comfortable where we are, but only our Father knows best. So when I read Joshua, I read it twofold. I read it as it is, and it's a things that happened many years ago. But I also read it as the present. And God's talking to me here. I take Joshua's name out and I put mine there. What's he saying to me? He tells Joshua, so he's telling me, be strong and courageous. I can only be strong and courageous in God's strength because I can do nothing in my might. And when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan River, it says the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove. And this empowered him to do miracles throughout his ministry. And when I was young, I used to think, of course he can do miracles. He's God. Until I finally understood Philippians 2, where it says he gave up his power when he came to earth. He became a man. And then he relied on the same Spirit that we have today to rely on. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus after his baptism is here today waiting for those that desire him. This Spirit will lead you into the promised land. But he won't go against your will. Like those three tribes that didn't want to go. Stay. You can stay where you're at. You don't have to have more. You don't have to have all that he's already given you. I ran across a story of a man that robbed a convenience store. And the amazing part of this story was he used a gun to rob it. It was a Civil War pistol that had a value of $23,000. And he didn't know it. And he robbed the store for $125. And all along in his hands he held a treasure. And that's like us today. We strive for peanuts when we can have grapes the size of a bowling ball that come from the promised land. God says, I've already given you it. Come, possess it. How much do you want? There's no limit. Jesus says, I have come that you would have life and have life more abundantly. Not just life, the abundant life, the Spirit-filled life. When you read God's Word that way, like he's talking to you, then you'll see some amazing promises there. One is in verse 5. God says, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave or forsake you. Wow! Nobody can stand against you if you stand for the Lord. Just as he was with Moses, he's going to be with us. Every one of us can be another Moses or a Joshua if we chose to. But we have to live the Spirit-filled life. Just like the Israelites, we're on the edge of the Promised Land right now. How do we get there, then? What's next for us? Let's go to verse 10. We'll see what's next. Now Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. The key word here, prepare. Prepare yourself. We have to prepare this temple to receive the Spirit. It has to be cleaned up. There's some things in there we got to get rid of. Dirt. Sin. Anything unclean. TV shows maybe we shouldn't watch. Websites we shouldn't go to. Thoughts we shouldn't even be thinking. Paul tells us, keep every thought captive. And Joshua told them to sanctify themselves. Kadosh in Hebrew. Sanctify. Set apart. To prepare. We have to be different than the world we're in. We have to be so different, people's going to ask you, I want what you have. How do I get it? Once that door's open, jump through it. Witness to them. The next step is a step of faith because it's unknown. Verse 14, chapter 3. It says, so it was when the people set out from the camp to cross over Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as of those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan flows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah and the Salt Sea failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. We can't wait for God to pave the way ahead of us. We have to have the faith that He is there and going to do it. We have to trust He's there ahead of us and take that step of faith. As soon as you stick your foot in the Jordan, He'll stop the waters. And you will go forward into the Spirit-filled life. This has been called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you have to make the first move. You have to reach for the dove that's circling over your head and draw him into yourself. You have to pray for the Spirit, the gift the Father promises you. And when you finally step in, the Lord will stop up the waters and you can go into the promised land. Will life now be smooth sailing? Will everyone love you? And all problems go away? Don't bet on it. In fact, they will attack you from all sides, more fierce than ever before, just as the Israelites had to do. But don't be afraid. The Spirit is with you. The Lord goes before you, just as the Battle of Jericho. Jericho had its high walls, fortified cities. That represents challenges in your life. And these may seem intimidating. They may seem overwhelming and even unattainable for you. But so did Jericho to the Israelites. And then in this city, there's one person that feared God. A harlot. Rahab. She's the only one in the city that knew what was going on. And she tells the spies, I know that the Lord has given you the land. The terror of you have fallen on us. This is chapter 2, verse 9. All the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. And she goes on, we heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. We saw what you did to the kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither was there any more courage in anyone because of you. And then the final statement here, she says, for the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and on earth beneath. This was her profession of faith. Her trip to the foot of the cross to accept the Lord as her God. A trip we all must make if we want salvation. I got to go on a small rabbit trail here, because in looking at this, Rahab confessed her belief in God, and she and everybody in her house was saved that day. The Israelites who believed in God and put the lamb's blood on the doorposts and lentils, and everyone in their house was saved that day. Noah in the ark with his family, everybody in the ark was saved that day. Lot, living in the city of sin, was saved, and everybody in his house along with him. And in Acts 16, the Philippian jailer, who said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he and all his house was saved. When the head of the house is saved, the rest of the household is not far behind. They follow along. A little faith will go a long, long way. So as we walk in the Spirit-filled life. We're going to face cities like Jericho, situations where the walls are high and the gates we can't get through. But the one who led Joshua is the one that's going to lead us. So let's read who that is. Chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but the commander of the army of the Lord have I now come." And New King James says, "The commander of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. There was another person that had to take his sandals off his feet because he was on holy ground. Moses, many years before receiving the law. The Lord appeared to Joshua as a man of war, he had a sword, because Joshua was getting ready to go into battle. On the plains of Mamre, the Lord appeared to Abraham, and he appeared to him as a traveler, because Abraham was a pilgrim, lived in a tent and moved around. We have to watch for the Lord, for his appearance to us through the circumstances we're going through and in the people around us. We have to recognize that. This is the Spirit-filled life. When you cross over the Jordan in front of you, you get filled with the Spirit. Your life is not the same anymore. You still commit the same sins, only now they bother you more. The Spirit convicts you, and slowly you begin to sin less. So what happens when you sin? When you're in the Spirit-filled land, you're not only the one affected. All your brothers and sisters in Christ are affected, because we're the body. When one member hurts, all of us hurt. Paul tells us that. And we see this in the Battle of Ai. How one person sinned, and the whole congregation suffered. The Israelites had gone through this baptism of the Holy Spirit. They had crossed through the Jordan. And Jesus was leading them against the battle of Jericho. He was captain of the host of the Lord in the old text. And host, which is Tisbaha, it actually means a mass of people organized for war. So that tells me Jesus didn't come alone. He doesn't need any help, but he brought an army of spirits with him, a mass of persons. If we want to experience this Spirit-filled life to the utmost. I saw three elements that deal directly with us. The first, submission. Submission to the Lord. When Joshua was checking out Jericho and he met this person, as a successful general, he says, "Who are you, for me or you for them?" He wanted to know. But when this person said, "Nay," meaning no, and then told him who he was, what did Joshua do? He bowed to the ground and worshiped. So when the Spirit's talking to us, it's talking in our mind or our heart, or it may appear to you, I think we should do no less. Bow our knee down and say, "Lord, what does you want your servant to do? Here I am." And the second thing that we have to do that they did is we have to wait on the Lord. The Israelites had to march around the city once for 6 days, saying nothing, doing nothing. Just march around the city and go back to the camp and wait. The next day, do the same thing again. They had to be patient. Oh, patience. That's so hard. I want it now. He wants us to be patient. We say, "Lord, nothing's happening." Wait. "The wall's getting higher, Lord. I can't get..." Wait. When we finally realize there's nothing we can do about the situation, then he says to us, "Shout right now, and the walls will come down." The third thing, believe in the Lord. God is able to complete that which he says he'll do. We have to believe that. As we submit, as we're waiting, let's not be anxiously wringing in our hands. There's a psalm that says what we're supposed to do in that time, and that's Psalm 47. And I thought that appropriate here to read. It says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord is most high, is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over all the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." We just wait. We submit. We believe he will do that which he says he will. When it's his timing, when he finally tells you to shout, don't doubt. This is the beginning of the Spirit-filled life. The promised land. The flowing with milk and honey. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be disappointments. And there will be failures. But next time, we'll see that when these come to us, how we deal with them. So between now and then, just remember, submit to God's will, wait on His timing, and believe He'll do what He promised. Heavenly Father, we are at the banks of the Jordan River. We are awaiting Your instructions on how to get across. Lord, there may be some of us that don't want to go any further. But there are many that want more, that want all that You've given us. Lord, give us patience. Increase our faith, that we may just bow our knee to You, Lord. Receive the Holy Spirit that You've promised us, that we may live the Spirit-filled life here on earth until You come again to take us to Your glory. Through Jesus I come. Amen.